Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
The scripture that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Does anybody know where it is written? Proverbs? Yeah, that's one of the places. The first time it's written is actually in Job 28, verse 28. I actually had time to go look it up. But you know that God repeats that same sentence four times in the Bible. Firstly in Proverbs 28, verse 28. Then in Psalm 111, verse 10. Then in Proverbs 1, verse 10. And in Proverbs 9, again. So, you know, if God says something once, we better listen. But if he says something four times. We better listen even more. But 4 months ago, I had a sermon actually on the God we serve, you know, just talking about the fear of God. But this scripture actually made me think not so much of the fear of God, but, you know, more of the fear of man that so many of us are walking in today. You know, it's become a major challenge. What is the opposite of the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? Anybody? Fear of man is the beginning of foolishness, or the fear of man is the end of wisdom. But that's what we're going to tackle today, the fear of man. And the first scripture I actually want to share with you is Proverbs 29, verse 25. But before we get there, let's just pray again. Father, we just want to thank you for this afternoon, Father. Thank you that we can spend it in your presence, Father. Father, we just declare, Father, that today is all about you, Father. Have your way, Father. Father, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth, Father, will bring glory to your name, Father, and it will be part of your heart, Father. Father, we just pray, Father, that we are not here because we don't have anything better to do, Father. We are here because we desire to hear from you, and we desire to spend time in your presence, Father. Father, come and have your way in this service, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Not many of us really see snares every day. But I saw again that MacGyver's back on TV. That is a cool program. And I remember as a kid used to be watching that, and my favorite episode is where MacGyver actually helps this little rural village in the middle of nowhere to defend themselves against this huge military group. Now, these guys in the village, they don't have guns, they don't have explosives, they've got nothing. So MacGyver thinks of all these traps. Now, the one that's clearest in my memory is they actually take a green branch and put it in the middle of the road. And that's it. And then next to the road, they dig this huge ditch. And as the jeeps and the military guys come, they see this green branch in the middle of the road and think something's fishy. So they try to drive around it and end up in this huge ditch. So that's my idea of a snare, a trap. You know, you don't realize that is there before you're either in the hole or hanging upside down with a rope around your ankle. You know, the major thing about, the most important thing about a snare is it's supposed to be hidden. You're not supposed to see it. You know, if you see it, it's not a trap, then you walk around it. Now, God says that the fear of man is a trap, is a snare. It's something that catches you before you even know it. But on the other hand, he who trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Matthew 10, 26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that there's nothing covered that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be known. Verse 27. Whatever I tell you in darkness, speak it in light, and whatever you hear in your ear, preach it from the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But be afraid of him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you actually go read Matthew 10, the first the chapter or the section just before this, the paragraph just before this, Matthew 16 to 26, speaks about persecution that is coming. And then from verse 27 onwards, Jesus teaches on the fear of the Lord. Sort of, you know, when persecution comes, what is the remedy? The fear of the Lord. Knowing who the Lord is, knowing who your God is, will actually protect you against that persecution that is coming. Now, knowing who God is, David wasn't afraid of the giant that's facing him. Knowing who God is, Daniel wasn't afraid of the lion's den that he's going to be thrown in. I just want to quickly share a story. In Daniel 3, we actually read of King Nebuchadnezzar that built this huge golden image. And he gives a command that every time music plays, everybody has to bow down to this golden thing. If you don't bow down, you'll be thrown into this fiery furnace. I've got no idea what a fiery furnace is, but it sounds not pleasant. So anyway, the music plays, everybody bows down, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego does not bow down. So King Nebuchadnezzar calls them and asks them, you know, why don't you bow down? You know, the music will play again, but this time you bow down. And they say, sorry, King, you know, we're not going to. And he gets furious, and he asks him, why not? And their answer is, we don't even need to answer you this. You know, the God that we serve is able to save us out of your hand. That is something really bold, I think. You know, if you see this fiery furnace, and all you have to do is bow down to this golden image, and then you're safe. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew who their God was. He knew that the God they serve is able to save them. If you go and read the story in Daniel 3, you'll see that they say, even if he doesn't, it's still fine. You know, we still worship our God. So King Nebuchadnezzar gets really irritated, and he gives the command that the fiery furnace should be heated up 7 times more than normal. This thing is so hot that the guys that take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throws them into the fire, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar's mighty men actually dies because of the heat. And then the king sits there and he watches this thing and he says, but okay, he threw 3 guys in, and now there's a 4th person. And the 4th person is actually shining. He's actually glowing. And then after a while, he gets the 3 guys out, and their clothes does not even smell of smoke. That is the God we serve. But so often we forget about it, and we are focused not on the God we serve, but we are focused on the boss that asks us to, you know, pay the bribe. Or the president or the minister that asks us to make abortion legal. And sometimes we're not focused on who God is, but we focus on the trouble that is facing us. And you know, this isn't a fear God and fear man. This is fear God or fear man. You know, you can't do both. You either know who God is and fear him, or you don't know who God is and you fear man. There's another brilliant example in Genesis 20. Verse 20. Just to give you some background again. Genesis 20, the Israelites just came out of Egypt. Now, the Israelites was in Egypt while the 10 plagues was happening. You know, they saw God's hand. You know, the locusts and suddenly no locusts. The frogs and suddenly no frogs. They also saw God's hand with the firstborns of all the Egyptians. Saw how they were dying. You know, and they knew that the firstborns of the Israelites did not die because of the blood that was spread on the doorpost with the hyssop. You know, they saw God's hand. But further, after they come out of Israel, out of Egypt, they go through the Red Sea. They see God opening it up for them. And as soon as they're through, they see God closing it on the Egyptians. You know, that must have been something. These guys are after you. You go through the sea and God just swallows them up. They had an idea of who God is. But now they come to Mount Sinai, and this is where we pick up the story. But when they came to Mount Sinai, you know, the Bible says there was light flashes. There was thundering. The mountain shook and the mountain smoked. Because God's presence was on top of the mountain. So the Israelites said to Moses, you know, we're not going close to that mountain. You can go speak to God. We'll stay right here. And this is Moses' reply. And Moses said to the people, do not fear. For God has come to test you, that his fear might be before you, that you may not sin. God reveals himself to the Israelites so the Israelites will know who God is and fear God instead of the giants in the land that they're going to overtake. Fear God more than the temptations that's going to come their way. To make it practical for us, you know, guys, if you one day get married and you know who God is, you know, you won't cheat on your wife because you know that is God's daughter. And God doesn't allow people messing with his daughter. You know, if that pop screen, if that pop-up jumps onto your screen that says, click here, and that girl that, you know, has pretty, you know, doesn't have a lot on, you know, you won't click on that because you know who God is. Ladies, if you get married one day, you know, you will actually have respect for your husband because you know that that is the authority that God placed over you. If you know who God is, the world, the way you view the world changes dramatically. Another thing that fear of man does is actually it robs you from blessing. You know, it robs you from God being able to bless you. Now, the Bible says very clearly that, you know, when you are persecuted, well, let's read it. Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12. Blessed are the you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. God says we should be exceedingly, greatly excited and happy when we get persecuted. If Sadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided not to stand up for what they believed in and actually decided to worship this golden image, they will not have the reward that they're going to get in heaven. You know, when you have the opportunity to actually stand up for God, when you have the opportunity to actually stand up to your boss and say, it is not biblical to pay a bribe to get that contract. You know, yes, your boss might persecute you. Yes, you might be demoted. Yes, you might even be fired. But through that, God has the open door actually just to pour blessing out on you. But if your mindset is to please your boss, doesn't matter what happens, you know, okay, boss, let's just sign this contract. Let's just pay the bribe and go on. You're actually, you know, denying yourself great reward that you'll receive in heaven. Does that make sense? Amen. John 5, verse 43 to 44. I've come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. But another came in his own name, and him you will receive. How can you believe those? How can you believe? How can you believe those who receive honor from man, from one another, and do not seek honor that comes from the only God? This isn't like, you know, you can do both. You know, you can't honor man's opinion and honor God's opinion. You can't place man's opinion, you know, you can't add value to man's, you can't, you know, add value to the opinion of man and to God. You need to make up your mind. If somebody comes to you and tells you about, you know, evolution, that it took millions of years to actually, you know, for the earth to evolve and, you know, but the Bible says it took 6 days on a 7-day rested. You know, man will come with proof, but you need to make up your mind before the time. Are you going to believe the opinion of man, or are you going to believe the word of God? You know, man will come with as I say, with proof and, you know, try to convince you, but we need to understand that, you know, you can't have biblical faith if you place too much value on the word of man. You know, the moment you take man's word for, you know, as law instead of God's word, you're on a steep slope down. You need to make up your mind whether you're going to trust God, even if it doesn't make sense, or whether you're going to trust man. We've got a certain capacity for honor. Now, we can receive honor from man, which is like takeaways. Really bad for you, and after half an hour, you're hungry again. Or you can receive honor from God, which is like really low GI and it lasts long. And but you see, that's the thing that makes you an honorable man. You know, whether you receive your honor from God, allowing God to speak into your life, or whether you hunger and you search after honor from man. This is so classic. Many times you see famous sports people, not always, but many times you see them getting addicted to the applause, getting addicted to the, you know, people you know, putting them on a pedestal and the VIP status. And you'll see them after, you know, after a while, after they've got enough money, they actually retire. And 2 years down the line, they'll make the big comeback. And it's not for money. Many times, it's just because they long for that tap on the shoulder that says, well done. You know, they long for that applause. They long for that people to look at them and, you know, just go, wow. But that's not God's heart. God is the one who's supposed to fulfill that desire we have. That hunger we have for honor. God is the only legitimate source of satisfaction for honor. Now, such an honorable man was Jabez. Do you know that Jabez, his name means brought out in pain? His mother called his name Jabez because he was birthed in pain. I don't want a name, you know, like that. But anyway, let's read. 1 Chronicles 4 from verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Now Jabez called called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would indeed that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him his request. Why could God trust Jabez with this amazing blessing? You know, everybody today is like searching after the Jabez blessing. But we get the answer right in the front. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. You know, God knew his heart. God knew that he could trust Jabez with actually a larger territory. God could trust him with, you know, his hand being on his life. Because he knew that the blessing would not become his God. You know, Jabez was more honorable. And you can just see, you know, he asked God to keep him from evil and that he would not cause pain to anybody, as his name says. If you were today inherit R1 million, okay, that's not big anymore, $1 million, do you think that God can trust you with that? Would you start to place your trust in that 8-point-something million? Would that become your security? Would that become your life? Or do you seek honor from God, and if something like that comes your way, you will actually be able to steward it? Just a thought on the sideline. Galatians 1 verse 10. Paul writing here, if I now pursued man, for do I now pursue man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I still pleased man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Just a quick teaching that bondservant. Does anybody know what that is? In the biblical days, a bondservant would actually be a slave that comes to his master and say, master, I no longer want to be a slave, but I actually want to be a bondservant. Now, a slave might be sold, a slave might be set free. A bondservant is actually somebody who says that my life has no meaning outside of serving your vision, your purposes. In some cultures, luckily not the Israel culture, but if the master would die, the bondservant will actually be put to death because he publicly declared that his life has no meaning outside of serving that master. Now, Paul says he is a bondservant of Christ. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. His focus is on Christ. His focus is on... No, his life has no meaning outside of serving Christ and serving the vision of Christ. Matthew 6 verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. This church actually has a great culture of if there's anybody in need, if there's anybody that struggles, you know, people will contact the office and make an anonymous donation or make an anonymous, reach out an anonymous helping hand. But this speaks about people that don't do it. You know, they'll, you know, print the A1 check and they'll come to church and say, brother, I know you've got a need, so everybody, I'm helping this brother. You know, if that is your your desire, if that is your goal, you know, you're sowing in the flesh, so you'll be reaping in the flesh. The Bible says we shouldn't be like that. We should help somebody and knowing that our reward will be in heaven. As I said, you know, this church is a great culture, so many times people will get blessed and not even know who the blessing comes from. Because the focus isn't on pleasing man. The focus isn't on getting recognition from man, but the focus is on serving God and doing His will. In the same paragraph, Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing up in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they might be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Once again, speaking about people standing up in the synagogue, praying because they want recognition from man. They want honor from man, which is false, which will, you know, it's like takeaways is really bad for you. They've got no recognition. They've got no honor from God. Why do you pray? Because you want to connect with God, not because you want honor from man. My favorite, verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they might appear to man to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they already have their reward." I can just imagine, you know, people walking in the street with this, "Oh, brother, I am fasting. You know, it's so difficult. I had my last meal 2 hours ago." You know, just that, oh. I mean, you get people like that. But why do you fast? Because you want to connect with God. If you fast like that to be seen by man, to receive honor from man, you won't be able to connect with God. You will have no reward. You know, life is not a popularity contest. You know, it's not about who makes the most friends. It's not about who has the biggest house. It's not about who's got the biggest bank account. You know, everything we do will be tested by God. God will be the judge whether we spend eternity with Him or without Him. Let me quickly just read you Psalm 110, verse 1. Just so we get our focus back. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding has all those who do His commandments." As I said, we need to decide whether we want to please God or whether we want to please man. You can't join them. You can't do half-half. Now, either you're sowing in the flesh or you're sowing in the spirit. You can't do both. Romans 8 verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for this is not subject to the and is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God." You're either in the flesh or in the spirit. And if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anybody doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." It's so easy to bend down to the desires of people. It's so easy to conform to your boss's desire. It's so easy to conform to your in-law's desire, or your husband, or your wife's. But we as Christians need to make the decision whether we're going to stand up like David and just look at Goliath and say, "You're bigger than me, you're stronger than me, but the God that is backing me is bigger than whatever you can bring." Or like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, looking at King Nebuchadnezzar and telling him that, you know, the God we serve can even save us out of your hand. But even if he doesn't, it's still fine. We still serve him. You know, I can just imagine the Israelites, you know, arriving at Mount Sinai, just looking at this huge mountain, shaking, smoking, thunder, lightning, and they're just telling Moses, "We're not going there. You can go speak to God. We'll stay down here." That must have shook them to the core. But still, when they had to face the giants, they turned their backs on God and said, "The giants are too big. We're not interested." We need to make the decision whether we are going to face our giants and take the promised land, or whether we are going to allow people to intimidate us. You know, when you've been a victim of crime, you know, you constantly walk around, you know, thinking of, you know, is there anybody hiding around that corner? Or if somebody broke into your house, you know, you put up these burglar bars, you put up these alarm systems and get the big dogs and everything. You know, the fear of man breaks down. The fear of man is destructive. But the fear of God, on the other hand, is constructive. It builds you up. It gives you that courage to face the giant. It gives you that courage to look at the king's eyes and say, you can throw me in this furnace. It doesn't matter. I will not bow to your golden image. I will not, you know, submit to you. I submit to God. Can I ask the ushers to bring the communion? Great biblical scholars will tell you that Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. You know, it's just before Psalms and Proverbs, but it's one of the oldest books. So the first time we actually get the scripture that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom is in Job 28, verse 28. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Knowing who God is, recognizing that the God we serve is almighty. He is ginormous. You know, he speaks about, he stretches out the stars with the span of his hand. You know, we can't even start to imagine how big this God is. And getting a right focus of who God is will bring us such a long way, knowing that even, yes, even if we get fired, even if you get demoted, you know, God's hand is still on our lives, and He is our source. Not the paycheck you get, not the, you know, being friendly with your in-laws. As I said, the fear of God inspires you. It takes you to higher levels. But the fear of man constantly, you know, you lay awake at night thinking of, what was that noise? You know, or, oh man, what is my boss going to do tomorrow? How can I please him? And we need to make the decision, if you haven't already, I really encourage you that, you know, afterwards we will have an altar call where you can actually respond and just come to the front. When I was a young Christian, that was one of my biggest fear of man was, you know, when somebody would ask, you know, people to come to the front for prayer for illnesses or prayer for whatever, you know, I would just sit there in the back just thinking, man, if I stand up, everybody's going to know that I'm a sinner. You know, nobody's going to ask me to ever to lead cell again because, you know, they'll know that, you know, I struggle. And that is just another lie of the enemy. You know, nobody has ever arrived. And church is not about connecting with man. It's not about impressing man, but it is about connecting with God and allowing Him to do the work. Can I also be, as soon as you've got your bread and your cup, that you can just stand. You know, when the first communion was taken, Jesus and His disciples were actually sitting around the table and enjoying a meal together. It was actually a feast. But modern day Christianity sort of made it a very somber, serious thing. So you're allowed to smile. Father, we just want to thank you this day, Father. Father, just as that song that we ended with, Father, you made a way for us to have a relationship with you, Father. Father, you gave your best. Father, you gave your son. And Father, you gave your best and you put him on the table and said, here, now you can choose to have a relationship with me, Father. Father, even before, Father, Jesus died on the cross, Father, you gave him, Father, freely, Father, to a bunch of sinners, Father. To a bunch of people who does not deserve it, Father. Father, you gave your son to us, Father. Father, we just want to say, Father, we eternally grateful, Father. Father, thank you that you gave your son to die on the cross that we can spend eternity with you, Father. Thank you that you are the one who made the way, Father. Father, we just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you that his body was broken, Father. Thank you that his blood was shed, Father. For our sins, for our iniquities, Father. That you've made a way, Father. Father, thank you we can take this bread as a symbol of the body of Christ that was broken for us, Father. Father, thank you that we can just take this bread and accept your free gift of salvation. Accept the way that you've made for us, Father, to come into your entrance. Let's eat together. And Father, thank you that every time, Father, the enemy comes to God and accuses us of sin, accuses us of stuff, Father, that Jesus, who's sitting next to you, just shows the blood and say the price has been paid, Father. That every time the devil wants to come and accuse us, Father, that Father, your blood just, you know, the blood of Christ just testifies of our righteousness. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, Father. Father, thank you for every drop that was, you know, that was spilled, Father, for our sake, Father. Thank you that we can Oh, Father, just walk in fullness, Father, because of what you've done, because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's drink together.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You.